Go with us to the book of Genesis again, book of Genesis chapter number 50, and we want to mind the Lord tonight and try to help you. I told you we're going to continue in this subject of mountain movers, and that's where we're heading tonight. And you pray for us. Pray that God will help us, and pray that we'll be obedient to Him. I didn't realize this morning, boy, if Matthew Suits, Miss Maria, was ever going to get in on a message, he should have been here this morning. I could not believe we eat dinner, and we was going up the road, Brother Junior, and it was 5 minutes after 1 o'clock. And me and Anna had already eaten. And you said, "Preacher, what happened?" I don't know. I think the Lord held time still so we could beat everybody else to the restaurant today. Amen. And I looked when I uploaded the message to the internet. It was still a 35-minute message. But boy, I tell you what, it didn't seem like it was that short. It seemed just a little bit longer. But we thank the Lord for you being here tonight. Genesis chapter number 50. If you're physically able tonight, I would ask you to stand for the reading and the reverence of the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 50. We're going to start reading in verse number 15 tonight. The Bible says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir and the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Boy, as we came out of the text this morning, we came into Joseph out of Genesis chapter number 50. Now, you'll see earlier throughout the book of Genesis that Joseph was Jacob's son. And I'll say this, you'll see him first mentioned in Genesis chapter number 30, verses number 22 through verses number 24. Joseph was the son of Jacob and of Rachel. Now, I'll say this to you tonight. Isn't it amazing that a son will pick up where a father left off? And I find this interesting tonight that Joseph, how in Genesis chapter number 30, you'll see tonight that Joseph was the son whom Jacob loved. And the reason he was the son whom Jacob loved, it was simply the fact that Jacob, being old in age, was able to bear a son. And I'll say this to you, was a baby, and might we could say that he was a daddy's boy. And his father had seen something in him that nobody else seen. And boy, it made his brethren angry, and they hated him. Because there was a sense of partiality, you'll see in Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 3 that Jacob loved him more than all the other brethren. And boy, those boys, they hated him, Brother Junior, because the father showed partiality to him. Might I say to you this evening, I'm finding this out, if you buy one gift for a child and you don't buy it for the other, it hurts the other child's feelings. Did you know even we as adults play that same game? If somebody doesn't speak to me, but they spoke to so-and-so, are they showing partiality? And I'll say this to you this evening. We've got to be careful what our minds place in us. And you'll see that the brethren hated Joseph. And boy, they were trying to think, after Joseph had two dreams, they were trying to think of a way to get rid of Joseph. The second dream that Joseph had, he shared it with his father. And he simply says, Father, Jacob simply said this to Joseph. He said, oh, should I and all your brethren and all the people bear our knees before you? Boy, they didn't have a clue that in Genesis chapter number 50, they would be bowing before him. They didn't have a clue that, Brother Chuck, throughout the years when the famine came on the land, that the only place that had bread was Joseph. They had no idea when they cast Joseph down in that pit that one day the one whom they cast out was the one who they would beg for help. And can I say this to you this evening as we came into this text and came into this subject of mountain movers? Joseph was a mountain mover. All the odds were stacked against Joseph. Everything was stacked against him. You'll find that Joseph had seven steps of honor in his life. You'll see that God, listen to me, he had a godly influence, Brother David, in his life. He wanted to serve the Lord, yet he found himself being in a place of wickedness. He found himself being sold to the land of sin. He found himself being an outcast. His family had betrayed him. His family had sold him out. He had every reason to give up hope. And Joseph was simply sold. The merchant men that came by drew him out of the pit, and Reuben returned and Joseph was gone. And you'll find that when they knew that Joseph was gone, they thought, how are we going to tell Dad his favorite son's gone? So they got the bright idea. They said, let's kill a kid and put his blood on the coat of many colors and take it back to Dad and say that he was mauled, he was killed. Everything will be all right. He's out of our life, he's out of his life, and we can move on and go forward. And then the famine came in the land. And we see that Pharaoh at that moment in time had a dream, and he was needing that dream interpreted. And it finds out that they would have seven plenteous years and 7 years, if I'm not mistaken, of barren in the land. And Joseph was able to interpret that dream for the king or for Pharaoh at this time. And he moved up as a governor in Egypt. Can I say this to you this evening? I don't care what anybody's done to you. I don't care. Listen to me. I don't care where you've been. I do not care what you face. Listen to me. As we tie into this morning's scripture, listen, I promise you this. There is a brighter day coming. And if you hold on, I promise you, you'll see the glory of God shown on about you. But listen to me tonight. Joseph had some time that was some bad days, and not a doubt in my mind, as he was sold as a slave. There could have been a time in his life that he got bitter, that he got angry, that he got upset to the point that Joseph could have never been used of God. And I'll say this to you this evening. Do you realize our circumstances can make us bitter? Our circumstances can make us bitter. Preacher, why am I here? I don't know. Why are you here? Preacher, why am I facing this? I don't know. Why are you facing this? Preacher, why is this going on in my life? I have no idea. You say, well, preacher, if God loved me, why would God allow this to me? Listen, his father held on and was changed his name to Israel. And this is his son. Why in the world would Joseph face such a problem? I'll say this to you this evening. God has an infinite plan that you and I cannot see. It would scare you and I to death if we could see what God was doing on the other side. Preacher, why is my family having all these issues? I have no idea, but I know God's got something better on the doorstep. Preacher, I don't have any idea what's going to happen. Listen to me, God's got something better. You just don't see it yet. You say, preacher, what's going to happen? I want you to notice about Joseph. And we see Joseph in chapter number 39 as a godly influence. In chapter 39, verses 5 and 6, we see the business end of Joseph and the fidelity. In chapter 39, verses 7 through 9, we see the resistance of temptation. And in chapter 39, in verse number 21, we see the divine favor of God. In chapter 40, verses number 5 through 8, we see the providential circumstances of Joseph. In chapter 41, in verse 16, we see Joseph honoring God. In chapter 41, verse number 25 through 36, we'll see God giving Joseph divine revelations. 7 steps of honor in Joseph's life. You'll find also that Joseph, listen to me, could have got bitter as we came to chapter number 50 and covered some history. Now, as we came into this, we could see Joseph, listen to me, find himself in a bitter place. That as those 10 brethren came down to Egypt, the only place to buy corn, and Joseph hid his face, he could have easily said, you know what? Take these men, I know who they are. He could have easily said, kill them. He could have said, bury them in a pit. He could have easily said, get rid of them. But Joseph said no. Why was Joseph a mountain mover? Because in the event of adversity, Joseph showed kindness. Amen. Listen to me. He was meek, as Daddy done stated, power under control. He'd seen his brethren coming. Boy, don't you reckon that riled up some thoughts of the wrong that they had done? Don't you reckon, Brother Junior, that brought up some anger? Don't you reckon tonight that Joseph could have easily said, it's my turn to get even? Don't you reckon Joseph could have said, if I kill them, I have every right to do that. But did you know this, that what his brethren were doing to him, what they had done to them, was throw him to where God wanted him? Can I say this to you this evening? Your circumstances might simply be pushing you right to where God wants you to be. Listen to me. When he lost everything he had as a child, he was getting launched to where God could use him. And the Bible teaches us that the brethren came and Joseph hid his face. He sold them corn, but he hid his face. We understand they come back again, and we understand that he begins to question them and he holds a brother hostage. And can you imagine, listen to me, the thought as these men were coming and showing honor and respect that Joseph could have stood up. Listen to me. Now, this might dig me a hole, but I'm going to dig it anyways. I'll let Daddy bury me when I get done. My mama's favorite words, Brother Bill, are, I told you so. And the most favoritest words that she loves to hear is, you was right and I was wrong. But you know what? That doesn't stop there, Brother Chuck. She likes to enjoy hearing it again. And every now and then, Miss Jody, she brings it up about 10 years later and says, you remember this? And I know she's doing it just for teasing, just to pick at me. But Joseph could have easily stood up from his throne and said, boys, I told you you would serve me one day. Joseph chose not to do that. He chose to return evil with good. He chose, listen to me, he chose to be kind in the moment of temptation, Brother Chuck. He chose to be gentle. He chose to show love. Listen to me, I'm going to say this to you tonight. If you are ever going to move mountains, I don't care what the world does to you. I don't care what anybody says to you. It's not about you anyways. It's all about Jesus. And honey, I'm telling you, we've been a crowd that has threw the Savior out, that sold him for sin, that sold him for our enjoyment. And honey, we're back to a place where we go to the throne of grace and bow on our knees in honor of respect for the one who we sold out. You know one thing I admire about Jesus? Not one time, Ty, does he rub my head in the sin that I've been in. Not one time does he bring up what I did in my past. Not one time does he ever say, I told you so. We see a typology of Christ throughout Joseph showing grace to wicked men. I'll say this to you, if the church is ever going to move mountains, we've got to be kind. You say, preacher, why is that? I disagree with homosexuality. I disagree with drinking. I disagree with drugs and alcohol and pornography and so on and so forth. I stand against it. But I'll never win a drunk by hating them. I'll never win a drug addict by pushing them away. I'll never, listen to me, I will never win a sinner by being mean to them. The only way that we can win people and the only way that we can move mountains is through love and through grace and responding with kindness through evil works. The only way that we'll move the mountain is through love. No doubt about my mind that Joseph often thought about his family. Not a doubt in my mind that there was times in his life that he wished he could have went back and made things right. Don't you reckon tonight that those brethren thought about what they done after it was done and over? Don't you reckon that they knew they'd grieved their father's heart? And they knew they'd disappointed their dad? And don't you know that it bothered them to see their dad weeping because his son was gone? And might I say to you this evening, don't you reckon it grieves our Father's heart in heaven when He sees us act wickedly? When He sees us sell our brethren out for the pleasures of this world? When He sees us sell Jesus out for what we're going to enjoy here? I believe tonight that it grieves His heart. You say, preacher, where are you going with this tonight? I want you to notice Jacob's last request. Verse number 17, these men speak to Joseph and say this, "Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God, of thy father." The Bible says, and Joseph wept when they spake unto him. I want to say this to you this evening. I believe Joseph ever forgave them before they ever got there. Brother Chuck, I believe Joseph had forgave them before they ever asked. And notice what happens. The Bible said that Joseph wept when they spake to him. Can I say this to you tonight? Joseph had a humble heart. If you're ever going to move a mountain, you've got to have a humble heart. Can I say this to you tonight? It's easy to be critical. Do you know that? It's easy to find fault in somebody else. It's easy. Ryan, listen to me. It's easy for Ty to feel better because he gets to pick on you. Did you know that? Yeah, he agrees. Do you know tonight that it makes people feel better when they can downgrade somebody? It lifts them up for a little bit. But I'll say this to you tonight. Always respond with a kind word. Do you know that tonight? A kind word turneth away wrath. Can I say to you tonight, we see Joseph weeping. Not only do we see a humble heart, but I want you to know this. We show a love, an eternal love. Listen to me. You say, preacher, what about that crowd that's running around, that's homosexuals? Preacher, they're going to hell. Listen to me. They're guilty of the same sins that was going to send you to hell. Preacher, do we welcome them in and condone what they're doing? Absolutely not. We just preach Jesus to them. Paul told us in the book of Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What my goal is to get them in and show them the love of God and see them get saved and God change their life. Honey, I'm going to tell you, if we don't have a loving heart, they'll never get saved. And I'll say this to you tonight. He had a loving heart. He had an eternal love. He had humbleness tonight, but he had the right attitude. Preacher, I ain't seen nothing happen. How's your attitude? Timmy, Ty has a bad attitude, don't he? Timmy grins. Maria, Ryan has a bad attitude, doesn't he? Sometimes. Can I say this to you, Miss Betty? I bet Junior has a bad attitude every now and then, doesn't he? Sometimes you have to adjust it, don't you? Amen. Don't worry, Johnny got his today after church too. You all right. All right. You say, preacher, what happened? What's your attitude like? You know what our attitude is? Oh, when I get the chance. When I get the chance, I'm going to let them hear about it. What good's that going to do? Well, it'll make me feel better. No, it'll make you guiltier. Boy, when I get the chance and I'm going to get even, I'm going to settle the score. No, you won't. Heard a preacher preach, Brian McBride, on the thought, what are you when you get even? Are you really even? I mean, when you downgrade them, are you really? Well, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. No, you're just going to make matters worse. When I get the opportunity, preacher, I've even heard it, I'm going to punch them right in the mouth. I've heard some Baptists say that before. Listen to me. Brother Bill, it ain't going to do a bit of good. It ain't going to change. You know what's going to happen? It's going to drive a wedge deeper. Listen to me. If thy enemy thirst, give him to drink. If he's hungry, feed him. You say, preacher, why is that? The Bible says, the Lord says this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You say, preacher, what's that? He will even the playing field. Honey, I promise you tonight, they are going to reap exactly what they are sowing. Honey, they're throwing seeds of wickedness. They will reap seeds of wickedness, but it is not your place to even the score. Notice what Joseph did. He said he wept. And these boys said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He had the right attitude. He says, you're not my servant. I want to say this to you tonight. I'm going to use Ty Benton for an example. Ty, you're going to get used for example tonight, and your girlfriend's here, and we're adjusting attitudes tonight, so she's going to be happy on the ride home. I told Ty, I said, come on and sing. Oh, I don't want to sing. And finally, I said, come on, Ty, get up there and sing. Well, I sung a bunch this morning. I said, get up there and sing. You know what Ty was singing? He thought he was singing for the preacher tonight. Preacher asked him, Ty, do you know you was actually singing for God in heaven? Wasn't singing for the preacher. And then he says, well, if I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to get Ryan. And I couldn't help but hear what Timmy said. He said, boys, y'all get up there and sing. Don't be dancing, just sing. And I love it because they get in sync every now and then. They do this. I love it. And they're just a singing and they do this. And every now and then, Ryan's stride's not as big as Ty, and they bump shoulders and look at each other. And they'll move apart. You want me to tell y'all something tonight? When y'all up here singing, you're not singing for the preacher. When Dan's over here playing and Miss Jody's playing and Brother Oda, I was enjoying it. And I was going to let them play, but I wanted to go ahead and pray and then let them get back to playing again so that we could fellowship while they play. Because Dan, they've practiced, they did good. And I am thankful for our instruments. And I am you know what they're doing? They're not playing for the preacher. Miss Jody and Brother Dan and Brother Odin and Brother Kenny are not playing for the people. They're given a talent that God has given them and playing for the Lord. Listen to me. When the nativity comes and we're seeking volunteers and when Bible school comes and when all these events are going on, people have an attitude. The preacher expects me to do it. Miss Jody wants me to do it. Miss Holly and Miss Anna wants me to do it. They're not wanting you to do it for them. They're wanting you to do it for the Lord. And Joseph had the rightful attitude. You see, our attitude in the church is, well, if I don't do it, nobody else will. Weren't you glad God put you here so you could do it? Because He knew nobody else would. I mean, you ought to be thankful that God chose you to be the one to do it. And Joseph had this attitude. He said, am I in the place of God? He said, that you're going to be my servant? He said, I've not took the throne. Too many people think tonight that they're coming to church for the preacher. If you're coming to church for the preacher, you're coming to church for all the wrong reasons. If you're teaching Sunday school because the preacher asked you, you're teaching Sunday school for all the wrong reasons. You see, tonight, who are we serving? Who are we serving? Joseph had the attitude. He says, look, you're not serving me, you're serving God. It's all about Him. And that's what Joseph was saying tonight. He said, it's all about Him. But one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and I'm done. Verse number 20, he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. I want to say this to you tonight. I'm not saying this boastful, but I see what God's done. There's been a lot of people that's came through these doors. There has been some rumors spread when people leave. They said that I done this or that I done that, and I didn't do any of it. And I know these things, and they don't think I know them, but you know what? I just want to be good to them. I just want to love them. You know, when their kids get grown and then come sit with me at a ball game and enjoy talking to me and hug me when they were this little when they left and now they're this tall, you know what? I don't want them to walk away and say, Preacher Josh was mean to me. over something that I did not have any part of, that I don't even know what went on. Listen to me. I don't ever want to have fault on me. I just want to love them. I promise you this tonight, we're not going to see eye to eye, Brother Junior. I'm not going to see eye to eye with Brother Kenny on everything. And Tim and my dad and Ty and all these other men, I'm never going to see eye to eye with them. You know what? Most of the time I don't even agree with myself. So you know who I let serve and answer it when I can't figure out what to do? I say, Anna, what do you think about this? And then she goes, I don't know. Today we left the parking lot, Brother David, and we were riding down the road. She goes, what do you want for dinner? I said, she's talking on the sink on my car, and she was talking on hers, and Brooklyn's listening in the background, and I said, I don't know. You know what? None of us ever know what we're going to eat. If you ever come to my house and eat, and you say, well, we're having supper, you know what we're going to do? We're going to look at you and say, I don't know. And she says, well, you pick. And Brooklyn said, I want Mexican. I said, I'm not eating a Mexican today. Nope. So we done ruled that one out. And Anna goes, Brooklyn, what do you want for dinner? And Brooklyn's learned to say, I don't know. So for the next 5 minutes going down 268, Brother Kenny, she'll say, what do you want? I said, I don't know. And Brooklyn says, Mommy, I don't know. And I said, what do you want? I don't know. And finally Anna goes, you want Japanese? I said, that sounds good to me. Brooklyn says, okay. So we pull in at Shiki's. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? I thought all these times that people were being mean to me. They were talking behind my back. And boy, I was going to set them in their place. But what I did not realize was what evil they were doing, God was meaning it for good. God was seeing how I would handle myself in these situations so I could be where I need to be on February the 11th, 2018. You see, everything you're facing right now, you don't understand why it's not here and now. You see, that's our problem in our Baptist church. We're fast food Christians. We think we're at McDonald's. We pull up to the speaker box, hypothetically saying, God, I need this. I want this. God, I want you to do this. And we think we're supposed to pull around to the drive-thru, and God sits in our lap and says, that's $7.37. But that's not how this thing works. But David, it took years before Joseph ever seen them. I want to say this to you. Just because you can't see what God's doing 2 years from now, 7 years from now, 10 years from now, be careful, because what they've meant for evil, God will mean it for good if you handle it in the right way. You know what's always tough? Is having somebody come back years later and apologize for what they done years ago. As that old saying, they have to lick their calf. They have to come and make the wrongs right. And you know what? Instead of telling them, I told you so, you ought to just love them anyways. You ought to just love them anyways. Preacher, they're mad at me. Just love them anyways. You see, I have to practice what I preach a lot of times. Anna looks at me and she says, why you got to be so ill and hateful? And I look at her every now and then, Miss Marie, and I said, why are you so ill? And then I walk into the mirror and I'm like, yeah, that's why I would be ill too. If I had to look at him all night, I'd be angry about it as well. But you know what? I guarantee you, Brother Junior, listen to me. I'm going to help you right here. This is for Junior Cawthorn. You ready? All right. Don't you look back there. The next time she's adjusting that attitude, instead of you getting mad and she's beating you with that skillet, just hug her and give her a big old wet kiss and say, I love you, Betty. Just give her a kiss and say, Miss Betty, I just love you. She'll quit beating you with that cast iron skillet. Either that or she'll beat you worse. I don't know, but try it and see. But you know what? Next time your husband or your spouse is fussing at you, just look at them and say, I love you. Just look at them and say, boy, do you know how pretty you are? Paul, she'll just tell you she loves you, okay? I don't know about the pretty remark, but she'll tell you she loves you. But just look at them and say, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. You know what my wife has done? And I'll say this is honest. Miss Jody, I've looked at her and she's been fussing at me. I just give up with it. I just quit talking. But I looked at her, Miss Jody, one night, she was fussing at me, and I said, I love you. And she said, well, that's fine and well, but that don't fix the problem. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jody's going to come play softly tonight.